Battle of Armageddon. This week we are going to study a subject that has intrigued Seventh-day Adventists for many, many years. Let me suggest an approach. When we study the book of Revelation and come across proper names, we try to find out their meaning in Greek or Hebrew and use that meaning to gain insight. When we think of the seven churches, the church of Ephesus means desirable, the church of Smyrna means crushed or persecuted, and so on. And the church of Laodicea means the judging of the people or the judgment-bound people. And so we understand the messages of the churches far better if we bear in mind that the names of the churches are suggestive. When we read of Jezebel in Revelation 2, and Balak, and the Nicolaitans, we try to get the meaning of these proper names. And so I have come to the conclusion that all the proper names in the book of Revelation, including John and Patmos and Jerusalem, are all highly suggestive. So when I come to Euphrates and Armageddon, I try to say to myself, what do they mean? And I see that Euphrates means sweetly flowing. Euphony, sweetly flowing stream. And Har, Margedon, in Hebrew, means the Mount of Assembly. And so with this background, let's study the Battle of Armageddon. The introductory verse tells us that Jesus comes riding on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven. In Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 13, the contrast is drawn between earthly nations gathered together to battle, and then the prophet prays, "Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord." To come down. The captain of the Lord's host, Jesus Christ, with the armies of heaven, will come down when the nations of the earth are mustered. Part number one, the time and setting. The sixth plague is the gathering together for the battle of Armageddon. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the river Euphrates, the sweetly flowing river, and it was dried up. Now, a river in Scripture never refers to a group of people. It refers to a nurturing, irrigating, watering philosophy of life. I'll give you to drink the Holy Spirit, and it'll be in you a river of living water. There is a river that makes glad the heart of the people of God. The sweetly flowing river is described in Ezekiel 47. It flows from the sanctuary, it irrigates and purifies the sea. For when it flows into the sea, peoples and multitudes of nations and languages, the waters of the river that flowed from the sanctuary heals the sea. And Ellen White says that that river of Ezekiel 47 refers to the work our call porters and our sanitariums and others ought to be doing. When this river, the sweetly flowing river, dries up, it triggers the way for the kings of the east, of the sun rising, of Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. Meanwhile, on earth, the three unclean spirits gather together the kings of the whole world and the kings of the United States, the earth and the whole world, the USA and all mankind. So there are two sets of kings. One set of kings comes from the sun rising, and the other set of kings is on the whole world. Their coming is triggered by the drying up of the sweetly flowing work of the gospel of Ezekiel 47. Armageddon. What does Armageddon mean? As I have studied it, I have come to the conclusion it means the Mount of Assembly, where all the world is arraigned and arranged and gathered. And this gathering of the whole world here on this planet is brought about by Satan and his followers, by Gog and Magog. If you read Revelation 20, Gog and Magog refer to Satan and all his hosts post-millennially. If you read Ezekiel 38 and also 39, Gog and Magog, explained by Revelation 20, refer to Satan and his family. What is the purpose of the gathering together? To make war. They make war against Christ in the person of his saints. And in Ezekiel 38, God declares, I am against thee, O Gog, and I will draw thee back with six hooks, six plagues, Ezekiel 49. In the death decree, in the legislation to destroy the hated sect, the world is arraigned against the law, against the saints, and therefore against Christ. It is at that time that Joel's prayer, Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, will be answered. It is at that time that Christ and his angels will descend in battle array on white horses, with the armies of heaven following him on white horses, to rescue from the dragon his beloved bride. Part number 4, the despair of the wicked. When the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity and their final iniquity in worshipping Satan and seeking to exterminate the hated sect, in repudiating the gospel, in refusing to drink of the sweetly flowing river of the water of life, and drinking instead from the wells of Satan, their cup of iniquity is full up. They have refused the truth, they have believed the lie, and they will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. This is the plague whereby the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Part number 5, the glorious outcome. Now when the seventh angel sounds, there is a great hail that, coupled with thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, destroys the wicked. Read again Ezekiel 38. As God describes his anger against Gog and Magog, towards the end of the chapter, he says, I will bring upon them great hailstones. The six plagues restrain the wicked from exterminating God's people. The seventh plague destroys them. In the sixth plague, the whole world is gathered together to fight against God's people and exterminate them. But at midnight, Christ appears and rescues his people and destroys the wicked. Revelation 19 describes the coming of Christ that ends up with the call to the beasts and the buzzards, the same as in Ezekiel 39, to eat the flesh of those who have been exterminated by the brightness of his coming. Part number 6. Now is the time. What have we got to do about all this? Well, right in the midst of this soul-searching, terrifying description, Jesus Christ said, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. Now the Laodicean believers are naked, and so the husbandman is offering them a robe, clean and white, woven in the loom of heaven, in which there is no thread of human devising, to cover their nakedness. His own robe of righteousness, his own garments, he is ready to give. His righteousness is then a gift to be accepted. In John 15, Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If the branch is severed from the vine, it cannot live. When it's joined to the vine, it lives. The vine and the branches gives to us a picture of the life of Jesus Christ, which is lived out in the believer. Christ's life provides a robe of righteousness. Christ's life blood provides the inner sap, the principle, the power that enables the saint to live. There is going to be a battle of Armageddon. The wicked are going to be arranged against the saints. The death decree will go out. The whole world will be marshaled. The devil will be rampant. As a roaring lion, he will seek whom he may devour. But the branches joined to the vine will receive life-giving sap. The naked saint casting himself at the foot of Jesus Christ will be clothed with a royal robe and kingly crown. What a wonderful picture the scriptures present of the contrast between events in the last days. Jesus is coming. To the wicked, he is a devouring flame. To the righteous, he is the everlasting Father. To the wicked, his coming brings death. To the righteous, it presents eternal life. As we think about these great events, let us rejoice that today we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We can eat of his word. We can drink of the water of life. We can be clad in his righteousness. We can be surrounded by his armor. And we can share in his ultimate victory.